Welcome. It's a joy to be here. And it's not true about the long preaching that he was talking about. You ask my congregation members that are here tonight, and they will tell you it's not as long as Makarafelt, that long meeting that you heard about. But it is a joy to be here, and even to look out across this congregation and to see so many that are involved in the work in Uganda. It's tremendous. I can remember back whenever we were asked to consider taking over the mission station in Uganda. And there was a lot of discussion, a lot of prayer, and a decision taken by the mission board to do a very wise thing, and that was to send out two spies, just like the two spies that came back with the good report. There were those that came back with a bad report, but our two spies went out, and the Reverend McMillan was one of them, and George McConnell was the other, and they brought back a good report at that time, and then that led to others going to the field. First time I went, it was not long after these men, and I went with a man by the name of Eric Graham from Lisburn. And I can remember arriving at Emmanuel Christian School. It was later than we thought, so it wasn't daytime. It was pitch dark. You know what it's like there, Stephen, Ruth, that, you know, it's no street lights or anything. When the sun goes down, it's just darkness. And so we arrived, and very conscious that there was a great welcome. There were a lot of children about, jumping up and down. We couldn't see them except with torchlight. And there's a couple of dogs as well running about our feet. And the children so willing to help us with whatever cases that we had to bring us down to our accommodation. Now, the accommodation was right down at the bottom. So we are negotiating the various levels of the fields going down to the accommodation. And when we arrived just where we were to sleep for the night and for the duration, if you haven't been there, you just have to imagine there's about a two-foot wall at the end, and you don't see it in the darkness, you see. So Eric is walking, and these children are around your feet, and the dogs are around your feet, and he takes a step out into midair. And poor Eric came down, and he fell, and he cut his arm, and his iPad, the screen was smashed in it, though it still took photographs when he was there. But that was our arrival at Emmanuel Christian School. But we had a wonderful time, and we followed the work. And so from the first men that went out to the team from Makarafelt that were there last month, we appreciate all that you've done, the practical work, those that have helped with uniforms for the school. You've seen the secondary school. They got lovely new uniforms last year at the opening of the Emmanuel Christian School. So I want to thank you in the Saviour's name. And in welcoming mission board members, let me also welcome council members that are here. We see a good representation from the Missionary Council, and they have been a great support to the work in Uganda. We want to thank you also in the Saviour's name. There's not a greater work to be involved in than the Lord's work. There's not a greater mission than the Great Commission. It's the work that the Lord has called us to. Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came in to gather from the nations of the earth a great innumerable company. And he's doing that and will be doing that until the end of time. And so from the world, he's calling a people unto himself, his people. And to be involved in the Great Commission is the greatest work of all, and it is the greatest task that has been committed to us. Just before we come to Acts chapter 13, the passage that was read earlier, I want to give Stephen and Ruth a wee text. I want to do this because I was reading it this morning. Some of you might follow Daily Light. Does anybody read Daily Light? Okay, so right towards the end of this morning, there was a special verse in my mind. It's a well-known verse from Isaiah 41 and verse 10, where it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And 18 years ago, when our sister Noreen was going to Kenya, this was the verse that we gave to her at her farewell service, the sending forth service. And just to have it in Daily Light this morning, I thought it was very appropriate. And I trust that you'll be encouraged by it and blessed through it. I remember Stephen, whenever I was in the college, Mr. Ferguson was the principal too back in those days. And I can remember Stephen would have sat just here, all right, on my left. And I asked the question concerning the course of the Whitfield College of the Bible, because I know that Stephen was a university graduate. Do you remember me asking this question? I said, how does the Whitfield College compare to a university degree? And he looked at me and said, it's four times more difficult. So there you go, Mr. Ferguson. We appreciate all the work that you've done in the college, and we trust that you'll be blessed also in the Lord's work. Now, we're coming to this portion of the Word of God. I have a pen here, just I wanted to mention that. I have a number of these pens. It has an inscription on it, the Free Presbyterian Mission Society, Emmanuel Christian School. Many of you have supported. You have been sponsors of children. You have donated to the work. You've done so many things. Would like you to take one of those. Now, they're in a bag in the minister's room, if I remember to get them out at the end. We would like you to take a pen with you tonight, just to say we appreciate what you have done. Pray for us, because we go in a couple of weeks' time, the 12th of next month, to Uganda. We're going to do a Bible conference there with pastors and leaders. This man will remember Joel. You know Joel quite well. And he was the first man that we met when we went out to Uganda. In fact, he loaned his van for our transport. And we had traveled all night. Noel Kelly had traveled all night. And so when we were picked up at the airport in the morning, we were very tired. And it's very difficult to get through the capital city and to negotiate all that traffic. It maybe takes a couple of hours before you really get onto the road. And just as we were getting through most of the city, Noel was very, very tired. I remember this, and he was beginning to fall asleep. He was driving, by the way. So he just said to me, he says, David, will you drive? And I was happy just to take over and do that, to get down to the school. So Joel was there. He wrote to the mission board. He asked if we would come send representatives to Uganda and do this conference with the pastors, and that's what we hope to do as part of our program next month. Reverend David Brown from Larne, the president of the Youth Council, is coming with us to help with that conference. We're going to spend some time at the school, take some video footage also for Noreen's deputation. She's home at the end of the year. And then these men will arrive. Reverend Harris and other members of the board will arrive for a few days before we leave the field. I'm going to have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon what we say tonight. We trust it will be a challenge and a blessing. Lord, we would say in the words of the hymn that we have sung together, emptied that thou shouldest fill me. And Lord, we would seek by your grace just to empty ourselves, that we might know something of the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts and lives just now. We bring ourselves very consciously before your presence now in the Word. In these closing minutes, we pray that you'll open our hearts to it, that you'll speak to every heart that's here. Minister to us. Bless your servants as well who are being sent forth tonight. May this be a special evening for us all. May we hear God speaking to our hearts and act upon the word accordingly. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Coming to this portion of scripture tonight in Acts chapter 13, we have been brought to a most remarkable scene in the history of the early New Testament church, to this most momentous moment when the Holy Spirit himself calls upon the church to separate Paul and Barnabas for missionary service, as we have it here in verses 2 and 3. The Great Commission was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Remember how the Savior said that that work was to begin at Jerusalem. It was to extend out into the southern region of Judea, and then up there in the north in Samaria, and then eventually to the uttermost parts of the earth. And here is the gospel now from this chapter going forth into other parts, to Europe and further afield. Paul's first missionary journey covered something like 1,100 miles, going to Lebanon, to Cyprus, and to Turkey. His second missionary journey, 2,800 miles, Syria, Turkey, and Greece. His third missionary journey, covering 2,800 miles, covering a similar area. And then what we might call his fourth missionary journey, his voyage to Rome, 1,800 miles, going to Crete, to Malta, Italy, possibly to Spain. We know that from Romans chapter 15 and verse 28 that he desired to go to Spain, and some would say that he even got as far as Britain. But certainly there is the extension of the gospel here, the going forth into other parts of the world. We have often admired Paul and Barnabas and the great missionary enterprise that they undertook as they went forth at the bidding of the Holy Spirit and in the will of the Lord. We rejoice in the preaching of the gospel, in the saving of souls, in the founding and establishing of the church, the overthrow of the devil and of sin. We rejoice in the instruction and the edifying of God's believing people. And we also note alongside that the opposition, the persecution, the hardships that were faced. These men were opposed, they were insulted, they were beaten in prison, even persecuted unto death for the sake of the gospel. But they suffered willingly. And we are amazed, no doubt, at the testimony that was borne by the apostle himself, the apostle Paul, concerning his own personal injuries and trials. He records that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The years have rolled on since these early New Testament missionary days, and we have rejoiced over the centuries when we think of the missionary challenge that has been taken up during these many, many centuries since the first missionaries went out here in Acts chapter 13. We think of William Carey going to India, C.T. Studd to China, Dhanaram Judson to Burma, David Livingstone to Africa, and we can name many of the great famous missionaries of the past, right up to the present time. We think of those from our own denomination that have been sent out. Brother Bill Woods, who is now 80 years of age, 55 years serving the Lord in Brazil. And just to have Margaret beneath my nose tonight, we have to say she's a veteran missionary. And she's been in the land of Kenya for many, many years. And we have rejoiced in these things. These men and women have made sacrifices, great personal sacrifices to do the will and the work of God. And of course, they've been glad to do that. We think often of the great statement of C.T. Studd when he said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for him. Like Abraham, they left their father's house. Like Paul and Barnabas and others, they have faced many difficulties along the way, the trials and the troubles of various kinds, problems within and problems without. And there have been personal and private trials that very few ever knew anything about. But they have been glad to go forth and to serve the living Christ and to do his work and his will, to go where the Lord has called them, to be willing to preach the gospel and present Jesus Christ in the nations of the world, minding not the cost. And they've been glad to hurl that glorious gospel to a dying world and to suffer for the sake of the gospel, the love of Christ constraining them. The very motive, and really the only motive that should move us in Christian work and Christian service, is that great knowledge of what Christ has done for us and that love of Christ laying hold upon us. For great is the blessing and great is the reward. And I say that to all of our missionaries. I say that to those who are going out. The labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord has promised that. And they will stand on the great day before the Lord, and they will receive from his lips the great words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we strive for. All of us that are involved in Christian service, whether it's the ministry, the mission field, the local congregation, we're seeking to be the good and the faithful servant and to labor in the light of that day when we come to stand before the Lord. And by His grace, we hear the well done. And we trust and we pray that our missionaries will have many precious souls to present to the Lord on that day and to be able to say, Lord, here am I and the children that God has graciously given to me. But the great question for us tonight is this: what is our responsibility to our missionaries? What is our responsibility to Stephen and to Ruth as they go forward tonight in the Lord's name? You and I have remained here on the home front. God has not called us as yet to the foreign mission field to be a missionary in that sense that we leave home and we go to another place in the world. We have stayed at home and we're serving God in the local church. What is our responsibility? Have we got obligations to our dear missionaries? Well, of course we have. And I just want to set before you three very important responsibilities that we have. The first one is to send them forth. And that's what we are about tonight. The word missionary is an accommodated word referring to someone who is sent on a mission of carrying the gospel to those who are in need. And the closest equivalent that we have to that in the scripture is the word apostle, which means one sent on a mission. And that's what our missionaries are. They are men and women who are sent on a mission. And we have these meetings, we call them sending forth rallies or services. When any missionary is accepted to serve the Lord overseas, we send them forth. And we send them forth with the blessing of the church. This is what's happening here in Acts chapter 13. Moved by the Holy Spirit of God, the church at Antioch prayerfully set aside and sent Paul and Barnabas to preach the glorious gospel in other places. They are sent forth with the blessing of the church to the work that God Almighty had appointed them to do. Missionaries do not go out independently by themselves. They go forth with the blessing and the backing of the Lord's people at home. And we send them forth. And brother and sister, we're sending you forth tonight, saying to you this evening that we will be praying for you, we will be remembering you, we will support you. We trust that God will use you in the extension of His kingdom. And so this is our responsibility, to send them. The second responsibility is to support them. We have an obligation in this matter to support our missionaries financially, especially if they're going to pioneer a work. And we have, by the grace of God, over the years in the Free Presbyterian Church sought to do that. We think of the deputations that are held, and Stephen has come to the end of his deputations. You have no more deputation meetings. You have two more opportunities to show the DVD and to see what the projection is like, whether it makes you pink or otherwise. But these deputations are giving an opportunity for our congregations not only to take them upon their heart to pray for them, but to support them. Offerings are lifted. There are those who enter into a covenant with God. I'm going to support the missionaries on a monthly basis. And then we have special times when we gather in gifts and we organize projects for the mission field and we seek to fund what is happening. And of course, the work of the Missionary Council, helping with all the salaries of our missionaries. Missionaries have enough problems to contend with as they serve the Lord without having to worry about basic everyday things. And so we want to be able to finance them, be able to pay their salary. And the Bible teaches that the laborer is worthy of his reward. And we know that Paul and Barnabas were supported by the churches. You think of Philippians chapter 4, and we think of 2 Corinthians 11. And we see very clearly there that these churches were coming alongside the missionaries, and they were in a financial way supporting the preachers. They were by and large back in Bible times a poor people, but they supported the missionaries. And we know of at least one occasion when Paul had to work part-time to support himself, but generally the financial needs were met by the giving of the people. It is ideal if the missionary can give his full-time attention and full-time service to the work that the Lord has called him to and not have to work. Now, I know sometimes that has to be a necessity for the missionary to support himself, but it is more ideal if the missionary is supported from home and they can go on with the work that the Lord has called them to. Now, I'd like to deviate and tell you a little bit about the rules of giving. And you've given an offering tonight. I should have maybe preached this and then had the offering, but we are to give according to ability. I'm not going to go into this, but according to what the Lord has given to us, we are to give to the Lord's work. We think of Deuteronomy 16 and verse 17 and Acts chapter 11 and verse 29. We are to give freely. Luke chapter 6, the Lord says, freely ye have received, freely give. We are to give with simplicity. That passage in Romans that tells us that we are to give in such a fashion. We are to give regularly. We are to give cheerfully. Mr. Ferguson's the Greek scholar, but I understand in that text, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. That word cheerful is the word hilarious in the Greek. And you know immediately what we get in the English when you think of hilarious. We get the word hilariously. So you ever give your offering that way? You ever give your gift that way? When the collection plate goes by, I'm so happy to give. Well, that is the spirit in which we are to give. And at times to give sacrificially. So we are to send them, we are to support them. And then I want to, in the third place, just give a little emphasis upon the fact that we are to pray for them. It is our God-given duty to remember those who have been sent out by the church to serve the Lord at home and abroad. The Savior said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we're living in the fainting age, an age when the Lord's people are not praying the way they should. And certainly one of the great aspects of those matters that we must remember before the Lord is God's servants who have taken up the challenge and they have gone forth to serve Christ in other lands. Often they are going forth like sheep in the midst of wolves, and they will encounter many hardships and trials and dangers and snares and oppositions and disappointments, and the way will not be easy. The devil will oppose them at every turn, and the world will be against them, and they will feel the antagonism of the world, and the flesh will do its utmost to hold them back. We think of how danger causes us to hold back, and disappointment can fill our hearts and make us give up, and discouragement can cause the servant of Christ to turn back. And doubts will flood the soul, especially when the going is difficult. Has the Lord called me? Am I in his will? Is he telling me to go home or leave the field? So how we need to pray as the Lord's people here at home. And of course, the missionaries' desire, the intercessions of God's people, they are conscious that they can only be strengthened and sustained and supported if the Lord himself comes alongside them and supports them in the work and provides for them. You'll note how often the great missionary in the New Testament, he called upon the churches that he wrote to, pray for me. And I know Stephen is saying that tonight, and he has said it tonight from this pulpit, and Ruth is saying the same, pray for us as we go to the mission field. Towards the end of the 18th century, there was a stirring in the hearts of God's people with regard to missionary interest. It was among the Baptist ministers in England. The interest in part was caused by a book written by Jonathan Edwards of Northampton, New England. And the outcome was that 12 of these ministers founded the particular Baptist Missionary Society. William Carey, one of their number, had already published a small pamphlet urging Christians to use all the means at their disposal in missionary effort. But not all ministers were in favour of missionary activity. Some of them had very low views of the Great Commission that the Lord had set before his people. At a minister's fraternal, at which Carey and other missionaries were present, Carey was rebuked for his zeal. "Sit down, young man. You are an enthusiast. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid and mine." However, William Carey became the first missionary of the new society, and his motto was, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." He is commonly referred to as the father of modern missions. When Carey heard the reports of India and how the great needs were there on the mission field and the great opportunities, he was told that they were likened unto a gold mine, but as deep as the centre of the earth. Carey said, "I will venture to go down, but remember that you who remain at home, must hold the ropes." When we think of our missionaries, when we think of the countries to which they have gone, it is like a mine with great riches to be won for the glory of God. So many people to reach with the gospel of Christ, so many eager to know and learn about the Word of God, but the mission field is deep, with many difficulties and many challenges. We humbly repeat the words of William Carey on behalf of our missionaries, on behalf of Stephen and Ruth tonight. "We will venture to go down, but remember that you who remain at home, must hold the ropes." I couldn't overemphasize that enough. Missionaries desperately need you to hold the ropes with your daily prayers and intercessions. Through your prayers, you are having a very real part in missionary endeavor, this work that has been entrusted to our missionaries. And so therefore we must, yes, support our missionaries faithfully in what we give, but we must support them prayerfully to remember them earnestly before the Lord. And I would put prayer at the top of the list. And if prayer is top of the list, everything else will fall into its rightful place. When Paul wrote his various letters, he often requested the people of God to remember him in prayer. He didn't write words and say to them, "Give to me," or "Support me," or "Write to me," or "Visit me," or "Keep in touch with me." Those are all very commendable things, and we ought to do those things. But he did write, "Pray for me." And this is our chief concern. This is our foremost responsibility. And it is our blessed privilege to uphold men and women who have left our congregations to go abroad to serve Christ in other lands. They need power. Power to spread the message of the gospel. That is the number one need. Remember Paul writing to the Ephesians, he said, "Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And our missionaries desire to preach Christ and to make known the mystery of the gospel so that they will, by the grace of God, see converts on the mission field. I know that's the longing of our brother and sister, to see souls won for Christ. They need the power of God. Let's pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will attend their labors. And they need protection. There are many dangers to face in foreign countries, dangers that we don't have really in this country. We think of the diseases that you get in Africa. We think of the bad road conditions. Not only bad road conditions, but bad drivers as well. Now, you can get them here in Northern Ireland, but be very well assured that they are totally different over in Uganda and other places. We think of persecutions. We think of political unrest. Oftentimes it sends an African country into turmoil. And we have heard of those believers at home who have felt constrained at a special time to pray for a missionary. We've heard these stories, haven't we? At a particular time, maybe even during the night, move to get out of bed and to pray for a missionary, only to discover down the line that at that very moment when God moved them to pray, that missionary was in particular need and going through a crisis. But yet here at home, the Lord was touching hearts to pray for the protection of those missionaries. They not only need power to spread the gospel and protection, but they do need provision. And we want to pray for their daily necessities to be met, for every aspect of what it is to be a missionary in another country. So let us remember our missionaries faithfully and earnestly in prayer. We are to hold the ropes, brethren and sisters, to hold the ropes for Stephen and for Ruth, to remember them often at the throne of heavenly grace. Not the Lord's servant to read that other passage in the book of Acts where Saul of Tarsus had to escape for his life. And we've often seen that picture in our minds of Saul being led down the outside of the wall to escape. His life was in danger. And there were those that were holding the ropes of that basket, letting him down. Now, if they let go, Saul of Tarsus would have been in great difficulty and likely would have come to injury. But we're the rope holders. As our missionaries go down into the mines of the earth to present Christ and preach the gospel, by our prayers and intercessions, we are holding the ropes. Through the quiet streets of a fishing village that lay at the mouth of a turbulent river, a cry rang out, "Boy, overboard, boy, overboard." Quickly a crowd gathered and anxious eyes looked out across the raging water to see the figure of a drowning boy. Every anxious mother's heart began to ask the question, "Is it my boy? Is it my boy?" A rope was brought and the strongest swimmer of the village volunteered to rescue the drowning lad. Tying one end of the rope around his waist, he threw the other end into the crowd on the shore and he plunged into the raging waters. Eagerly everyone watched the swimmer breast the tide with strong, sure strokes. And a cheer went up when he reached the boy and grasped him in his powerful arms. "Pull in the rope! Pull in the rope!" he shouted over the furious waters. The villagers looked one to the other. "Who was holding the rope?" they asked. No one was holding the rope. In the excitement of watching the rescue, the end of the rope had slipped into the water and disappeared. Powerless to help, they watched not one but two precious lives go down because nobody made it their business to hold the other end of the rope, the shore end of the rope. Are you holding the shore end of the rope? We have this responsibility as we send God's servants forth to hold the ropes in prayer. May God help us even this night to enter into covenant with him, to be able to say before the Lord tonight, "Oh God, for Stephen and Ruth, we're going to be rope holders and we're going to hold the shore end of the rope as they go down into the mine to rescue the souls of men that are drowning in sin." May God bless his word tonight to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. It's a wee word of prayer. "Lord, we commit our way to thee in the word." We feel our responsibilities and obligations tonight as we think of your servants who are going forth to the land of Uganda and all that they will face there. We thank thee that in the work there will be many joys, and we pray that thou will give them, Lord, success in the gospel, success in the preaching of the word. We pray that many children of the school will be converted to Christ. We pray that many in that Nasalu area, in that neighborhood, will come to know the Savior, that thou wilt add to the church and gather in, Lord, from that part of the world, precious souls unto Christ. We know there's no greater joy than to see men brought to the feet of the cross. But, Lord, we know that they will face trials and there will be difficulties too. But, Lord, help us here on the shore end to hold the ropes for them and to pray earnestly for our missionaries there in Uganda. Bless them this night and in the coming days. And when they go next month, be with them in the journey. And may it not be long before we hear of good news from the mission field in answer to prayer, what God is doing for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Now turn with me, please, to your order of service once again. To the back of the order of service, when this passing world is done. We're going to sing two verses of this hymn. And then we're going to ask, as we sing the opening two verses of the hymn, our brother Mr. Miller to come up to the front. Members of the mission board, other members of Presbytery that are with us here this evening, to join us at the front. And we're going to solemnly set aside our brother for the work of God in Emmanuel in Uganda by laying on of hands and by solemn prayer. We're pleased tonight that the Reverend McMillan is with us. He was one of the first men to go out from our board, him with our brother Mr. George McConnell, and we're glad he's here with us tonight from Armagh, and he's going to lead in that prayer. And then we'll ask our sister Ruth to join us, and we want to shake their hand and wish them well. We have been reminded tonight from the Lord's servant through his word of our responsibility. They know what they have to do. Now, brethren and sisters, God has shown us again what we have to do, and may we do it as unto him. So just the opening two verses, let's all stand to sing, and during those verses, would all those brethren who are with us, please, from the board and from Presbytery, please come and join us here at the front.
Savior. Want to thank you for the greatness of your love. Want to acknowledge much, Father, your mercy and ever reaching down to save our souls. We're glad tonight that we can say that we're the Lord's, that we're redeemed with precious blood. We thank you, Father, we're sending forth those that know and love the Savior. Their lives have been changed, and that they have been born again of the Spirit. I want to praise thee, Father, for the open door in Uganda that has been spoken of tonight. We acknowledge that you're the one that has opened that door. And we pray, Father, that you'll be pleased to keep your hand even upon the government of that land. We pray for a stable government. Your word tells us that if you open a door, that no man can close it. And Father, our earnest and united cry tonight is that you'll keep that door open for the preaching of the everlasting gospel. Lord, we think of laying hands upon your servant just now, this solemn occasion. We pray for a real sense of your presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, we've known your presence tonight already. We pray that the sense of your presence just now will intensify. We think of sending your servants forth to the mission field and the great promise, Father, know I am with thee always. We want to pray that Stephen and Ruth will know the Lord at their side tonight. And we pray that when the day comes to leave this land again and to go forth to Uganda, that they'll be deeply conscious that thou art with them, that you're there every step of the way. Lord, we are conscious tonight that we're your servants, laying our hands upon your servants as they go forth. And Lord, our cry will be that you'll reach down and put your hand upon our brother and sister, even tonight. We do remember, Father, that Nehemiah said that the good hand of his God was upon him. And Lord, our prayer would be that our brother and sister both would be able to testify in days to come that God's hand has rested in power and has rested in great blessing even upon them. Thank you for these months of furlough, the time at home of refreshment and fellowship, enabling the churches to strengthen their hands with God. We thank you for the blessing of God upon those deputations. We do thank you that they've known travelling mercies. We thank you, Father, that they've been blessed by the visits to the churches and the fellowship. We acknowledge your goodness, Father, in providing for them to return to the field again. We take that as a token from your hand. And Lord, we praise thee for it. And we think of every need, not just the financial. We're conscious of many needs that our brother and sister will have in days to come. And Lord, we stand on the promise that you'll supply their every need according to your riches and glory. Keep them safe in every journey. Preserve their going out and their coming in. We've heard much of the difficulties of travel in that land even tonight. Keep them, Father, even from the enemies of the gospel, those words that were read unreasonable and wicked men. Lord, we commend them to thy prayer. We remember the promise given to Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Pray that you'll watch over them. Our prayer is, Father, that in that different environment, that you'll keep them in health and strength. Remember that John said, I wish above all that thou wouldst be in health and prosper, even as thy soul prospers. Lord, our cry is you'll keep our brother and sister in a good measure of health and strength, enabling them to continue with their work and their labours in that land. Help them with the language studies. We pray, Father, they'll know the blessing of God. We pray that you'll make them fluent in that Ugandan language. We pray that they'll be enabled, Father, very soon to preach the gospel in the native language of the peoples, even of that land. We pray, Father, that you'll make our brother a mighty preacher of the gospel in Uganda. May he preach the word, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. Lord, we cry to thee tonight, remembering that you have said that you'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask thee. And we're asking the Spirit of God in the fullness of his power will come down upon this gathering. Come down upon our brother and sister. Fill them full of power tonight, even for the service to which you have called them in that land of Uganda. We pray you give them many souls. O God, we cry, put your hand upon them in a soul-winning ministry. Remember those that went to Antioch. The hand of the Lord was with them, and much people believed. And Lord, that's our earnest cry tonight. And we think of the vast multitudes of that land of Uganda, that whole East African region. We are crying, Father, that many will be saved. There will be a pulling down of Satan's strongholds. We think, Father, of those in tribal darkness, satanic darkness. But we rejoice tonight in the power of the everlasting gospel, that is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And Lord, we pray that that land will be changed, that Masala area, that it will be turned upside down for Christ. We pray there will be men and women and young people too turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. We ask thee, Father, to remember the families too. We think of that day when they will come to the parting. Stephen and Ruth will take their leave of us and take their leave of their loved ones too. And Lord, we ask that grace will be given for that day. You've told us there's grace to help. Thank you for grace to save. But we praise thee, Father, for grace to help and sustain. And give them the grace that is needed for that day. And then the great distance between. But we rejoice tonight that you're the God of Mizpah, the one that watches between us when we're absent the one from the other. Lord, we ask that these dear parents will be blessed in their own hearts and souls, even as they give their loved ones to Christ and give them to the service of the Master. We want to pray, Father, that they will know the blessing of God too, even upon their lives. Make Stephen tonight like Stephen of the Scriptures. Make him a man on fire for God. Remember Ruth too, who served the Lord in a foreign land. Lord, bless her dear sister. Make them together like Aquila and Priscilla of old, those that were devoted to Christ and to the extension even of his kingdom. And Lord, our cry is those words of Boaz to Ruth those many years ago. Recompense their work and give to them a full reward. So Father, hear these, our cries, as we commend now our brother and sister into thy hands and into thy care. We pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank you tonight for your generous giving. The offering came to £2,670, for which we thank you very much in the Lord's great and most precious name. Now everyone will have an opportunity to shake hands with Stephen and Ruth at the end of the meeting. So do remember the supper that has kindly been provided for you. Just when we have it on your feet, we'll sing those last three verses. We couldn't really miss them. Some of the greatest words in our hymn book. By McShane, chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Saviour's side by the Spirit sanctified. We'll sing the remainder of the hymn, and then we'll ask our brother, Reverend Brian Lorimer, the minister of our Clough Mills congregation, to come and close in prayer, to give thanks for the food, and to pronounce the benediction.
as each of us seek the Lord's face even now, praying as one man under one head, seeking his face. Lord, our most gracious and eternal, heavenly, loving Father, we thank thee for a great sense of thy divine presence even here in this meeting house. And we cry unto thee and thank thee that we approach thee not in any merits of our own, but solely upon redemption ground. And we thank thee for our day's man redeemer. We thank thee for the person and work of the missionary of all missionaries, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we ask of thee that thou wilt bless both our brother and sister, Mr. and Mrs. Miller, as they soon would go to the land of their calling. We ask of thee that thou wilt fill them full of the Holy Ghost and with power, and that thou wilt draw them to very souls for whom thy blood was shed. And we ask of thee for the unconverted. Lord, the unconverted are the mission field. And you've said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And therefore we pray, as this is Christ's prayer, we enter into his intercessory prayers, and we ask of thee that thou wilt move in mighty power, and that thou wilt rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. We thank thee for our brother, we thank thee for our sister, and we pray for their families, as they would see them leave soon. We pray that thou wilt help them, and that thou wilt give grace for grace. We pray for the Emmanuel Christian School. We pray for the little children. You've said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And we ask of thee that thou wilt move in mighty power, and that, Lord, thou wilt use our brother and sister for the extension of thy kingdom and for the building of thy church. We thank thee for thy promise. You've said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for every head bowed, for every home represented. And we ask of thee that thou wilt give us, each of us, the desires of our hearts, and that thou wilt move secretly and silently right across Uganda and further afield. We pray that thou wilt use thy servant. Lord, help him in his studies. We pray that you'll help him in the closet. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them in all that they are involved in. We thank thee for those who have been out already and those who have helped in various ways. And yet, as we've had the solemn duty placed upon us, each and every one of us, of our responsibility at the throne of grace, Lord, teach us to do the will of God. Give us teachable spirits. Help us, we ask of thee. Give us prayer that comes from thee, prayer that returns to thee, prayer in the Spirit. Teach us to pray. Lord, we thank thee for those who have prepared the food before us. And we thank thee for those who have worked in the background. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless their labors in the gospel. Lord, we ask of thee that you'll take of our thanks for those good things provided, and that thou wilt bless it to our bodily use. And we ask of thee, even now, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost will be with us now and forevermore. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask it, and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen.